Hey, good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good deal. What a great day. You know what? I love the mixture of the old and the new. Sometimes those old hymns just touch your heart, don't they? And you know what's amazing to me? The staying power of songs. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, think about that. The songs that you and I listened to as children, some of us, not many of you were there when I was a child. In fact, it was so funny. We were at a restaurant the other day, and there were three couples from the church. And all three of us were about the same age group. And finally, Jeff looked around at us and he said, "Do you realize we are the senior citizen representation of Catalyst?" And it was kind of a humbling moment for all of us, you know, as we put our false teeth out. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was one of those wonderful days. But you remember songs, honestly, that touched you. It's amazing, isn't it? And when you hear them again, it's like going to an old car show. It's crazy, but when I see old cars of a certain era, it reminds me of times in my life that I was there and in that. Songs have a staying power, but the old hymns have a staying power that's amazing. And please, I'm not pushing one over the other, because I'm going to tell you what, there's some songs today, some of the stuff that Chris Tomlin writes, I don't care what you say, they're unbelievable. They have longevity like you and I can't believe, because they're written on the Word. And that's what all this is about, the longevity of the Word. One of the reasons I wanted to say that is because I always encourage people, and if you remember, even when we started the discipleship class, we said, you know what, when you get in the Word, take a marker with you and a pen. And when God gives you something in there, write it down. And it's so fun, I'm telling you, to go back and look over dates and remember times in your life when God gave you a word or God gave you a promise or God spoke to you in a way that absolutely just solidified something in you. Now, to begin the teaching today, and I'm not so sure it's a teaching, as I'm going to tell a story. It'll be a little different today. But I want to go back a couple of times. Early this morning, I was walking back through my Bible and reading dates. And when we began our ministry here at Catalyst back in 2017, this is the verse the Lord gave me, Psalm 21 through 5. In times of trouble, may the Lord hear your cry. May the name of the God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm. May He send you help from His sanctuary and strengthen you from Jerusalem. May He remember all your gifts and look favorably on your burnt offerings. He was saying this to the church here. He says, and may He grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. And may we shout for joy when we hear of your victory, God. And may we raise a victory banner in the name of our God. And may the Lord answer all our prayers. And then as we started the All-In campaign, I had this marked in the early parts of April that the Lord gave this in my quiet time. It's Psalm 37, 1 through 5, and it says, don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. Like the grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord. I love this. Just trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him. And I love this phrase that the psalmist writes. And the Lord will help you. Those are just good words, aren't they? They're words that you and I can build a ministry upon. There are words there that literally give us a foundation. And this morning, if you don't mind, I want to share the story of a miracle with you. And I still can hardly believe that I get to share this great news with you. Now, when we began the All-In campaign, we had a goal that we were going to secure land. And in order to build a place of what we call permanence and what Carl has referred to as a place of legacy. And we believed that that would happen for Catalyst. Now, our thoughts were that God would have us secure some land and ultimately build. Yet, all the while, we also thought, and if you remember this in the video, we said, what if God has more in mind? And in the midst of all these words, what we did, we asked God to give us wisdom in working towards what we need to do to take the psalmist seriously and to do our part to do good. And soon, friends, it became very evident that God had more in mind, if you will, than just using a simple transition place. There seemed to be, if you will, there seemed to be an opportunity, a place where we might have something beyond what we did. It was so crazy that when this took place, honestly, it was humorous to us about what took place. Because as we began looking, we created three teams, and most of you know this. We created what we called a kingdom team, and that was the financial team that helped really filter through the All-In campaign. We created a team for the facility because we were looking and scouring the area to say, what do we need to do in terms of land? What are some potential places for that? And what do we need to do as we think about a scope of what we'd like to build? And then finally, we had a January team. Now, can you imagine why it was called that? It was called January because January 1, we have to be out of this building. So we knew that we had to secure a transitional place. So we had three folks there. We had Larry Collier, and we had Jeremy Bolin, and we had John Drennan. And those three men went to work. And they were literally scouring the area as so many people were. And I remember Nate gave them a list of some facilities that perhaps we could look at. And one of those facilities, Jeremy knew the owner because he used to live by him. So he called him and said, hey, would there even be any some opportunity to talk? We're going to need a place on Sundays, and we're wondering if this might be, because this facility is just magnificent. Just magnificent. The guy said, yeah. Well, a little later the next day, Nate and Mike Gray are driving by that facility, and Nate said, hey, that's one of the facilities we're kind of thinking about. Mike says, man, I'm good friends with the owner of that. He said, I'll call him right now. So he picks up his phone, he goes, Mike, this is so strange, because somebody from your church already called me and asked me about this. So, you know, we were working diligently, and on that day, they set up a time, and Jeremy went to visit, and Jeremy walked in, and this place is a phenomenal place. And he looked around and he said, man, I want to tell you, this is a beautiful facility. And Clark, the owner, looked at him and he told us this story. He said, you know what? I said it, I don't know how many times over the last several years. When somebody said that to me, I just simply said to them, do you want to buy it? And he said, Jeremy looked at me and goes, yeah, we might. And he said he was just shocked. And thus began some conversations and some openness towards this. And honestly, we never dreamed in any way, faith or fashion, that this might take place in a way that we just didn't know. And so as we began looking that perhaps God maybe had some more in mind. Because conversations picked up, we made sure that they said, yes, we're open. We're open to doing this with you. In fact, they told us that we want you to know that if you needed a place next Sunday, we would sign a paper today for you. Listen, these are good and godly people, man. They love the Lord. They love the church. And they were drawn to our situation. And he said, literally, I would sign a contract for you tomorrow so that you would have a place. So we gathered up the directional team because we want to make certain that ministry meets a purpose. And so we had them walk through, and everyone felt very, very positively about it. We felt like, you know what, there's an opportunity here that if this works out. And they said, well, we probably need to bring all the parties together. So we sat down, to be honest with you, we sat down with them, and we had a meeting that we were just trying to share some information. And when they first told us what the building assessed for and what they had in it, we realized then that if we just got to use it on Sundays, we were going to be fortunate. You know, I mean, it was really nice. And it was above our pay scale. And so we began to just, you know, learn that day. And you know what? I told Carl something. This is the truth. In our meetings, the Holy Spirit was so prevalent, you could feel shifts in the time. I can't even describe it any better way than that. It's almost like when a lock is being unlocked, and you know, when you hear the click, it was so strong in that. And I have a feeling that it has a lot to do with this part of the story. What we didn't know was on the day that Jeremy was visiting and we were making calls, we didn't know that 1,000 miles away on a beach, the other owners of this place were praying because they had a burden that they had to do something different with the building. And it was on this day that the owner called them and said, I want to tell you what's taken place. And they said they believed that moment, that day, that we were an answer to their prayers. So you see, God was working way before we got there. And God was setting in place something that we couldn't set in place on our own. God was already tendering their hearts to the notion of maybe utilizing the building in some different way, and God was tendering, honestly, their hearts towards us, and they didn't even know us yet. So finally, we met with them, we talked with them, we had a time to have a meeting, and we had representatives from the elders, from the kingdom team, and the facility, and the January team there. And when they first told us again what the price was, we just immediately went to leasing or renting for a Sunday, or if they were in some way even open, that they might talk to us about a lease purchase agreement, that they might even carry the note themselves, and if they would work with us in some way that we might could get there. And so it became important that two things really helped make the whole thing happen. And I want to tell you once again, these were just wonderful, generous folks who love the Lord. And they wanted the transition, but they, more than that, they wanted a church to be in this building. Isn't this amazing? They wanted a church to be there. They had a burden for how this building was going to be using. And so as the Lord worked in our midst at our first meeting, which we felt had really gone well, you know, we're just listening to them, and really we didn't say anything of permanence to them at that point, because after they told us, honestly, what it assessed for and what they had in it, we didn't want to insult them with an offer. And you know, we're standing out in the hub when they had left, because it went so well, it was amazing. We were just awed by it. And it went so well that they left and said, "We will bring you a proposal for a lease purchase when we come back." And we're standing there, and I'll never forget, Chad Frank just looked at us and he said, "You know what, I'm not so sure. We shouldn't have told them what our debt capacity is." Because you remember now, think about this. We said that the no from the rock was a blessing, right? When we were making off that offer to purchase and we said no, we had already worked with a lending agency, so we understood what our debt capacity was, because we made a commitment to the church and to ourselves. We would not exceed this limit, that this is what we believe is doable for us, and we're going to stay there. And so Chad said, you know, he just comments, he says, "I'm not so sure we shouldn't have said them, because I'm not so sure we're that far apart." And so we're thinking to ourselves, okay, what do we do then in this relationship, and what are we supposed to do now in that? So we left the meeting with the understanding they would go back and prayerfully consider. And Jeremy, as always, follows up, as he always did, and we set up a meeting for the next week. And they walked in immediately, and they shared their proposal for our lease purchase. And I'm going to tell you, it was ridiculously generous. And it was more gracious than we ever imagined. And it was after this that Nate stepped up, and Nate said, "I want to tell you something." Some of you don't, if you don't know who I'm talking about, Nate, but Nate Bowers is chairman of our elders. And on the first meeting, Nikki was there. On the second meeting, Nate was there as a representative of the elders. And Nate shared with him how generous and how thankful we were for their offer. But he also wanted them to know what our debt capacity was. And we shared with them the process we had gone through with the rock. We'd share with them what we understood was going to be doable for our congregation. And friends, the only way I can tell you is when he did that, we heard another click. And it changed. The whole tenor of the meeting changed. And they looked at us and said, "We didn't know that you had some capacity to do something." And we said, "Well, we did." And we told them we didn't want to embarrass them or insult them. And they laughed. And they began to talk to us about saying, "Well, this is what we know that we're asking you for." And we knew that there was still a large gap from where they were to where we had to be. And they said, "You know what? One of the things that we believe is that if we could do the one and done, because of their situation and the sensitivity of it, that would be the best parts for them." And so they reiterated this notion of a one-and-done deal. And we said, "We don't know if there's any capability." You know, Nate said, "I don't know if there's any capacity on you to meet us somewhere in some middle ground here. You've already been so generous, but is there some capacity here that you would come to us?" And then we knew that something had changed. And so we asked them, "What if we stepped out? The representation from Catalyst stepped out and allowed you to talk for a moment. And you can discuss among yourselves maybe the opportunity to meet us in the middle." And they said, "You know what? That would be a great idea." And so we all get up and make our way to the hub again, outside the hub. And there we began to talk, and finally we just kind of sit around. It was Nate and Larry and Chad and Jeff and myself, and we just sit in the lobby, and we began to talk about a figure that we had really hoped they might come to. We didn't think there was any way they would, because it was just too much of a drastic jump from where they were to where we might be. And then we realized also, and we'd spoken to them, that the only way we could do this was because there would still be a gap left where we knew our limit was and where we had the capacity, and it was a much smaller amount. But we knew that we had to ask them, would you, and this is a big ask, would you carry that note for 3 to 5 years and then allow us to pay it in 3 to 5 years? And so we walked back in the room. We're there. We had prayed. We walked back into the room. And honestly, the first thing out of their mouth was they gave the number we had hoped and prayed for. And I'm telling you, we're all looking at each other. You know what I mean? I mean, we're cutting ice. And honestly, because we wanted to jump up and hug each other then, but we were too embarrassed to do it. So we just kind of stood there and tried to look calm and collective. And inside, you know, everybody was going, oh my goodness, who's going to speak? And then Nate gave the big ask. And they said, listen, the only way we can do this, and he reiterated them, we've made a commitment to the church that we will not go beyond this measure. We know this is where we are. And what we'd like to ask you is if you would consider carrying this part, which is a fraction of what it was, if you would carry it 3 to 5 years and let us pay you at the end. And one of the owners looked at us and she goes, that would be no problem at all. In fact, we'll carry it 6 or 7 and we'll charge you no interest. You can just pay. I know. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And honestly, it was at that moment that the final click happened. And we knew, as crazy as it sounded, we knew that God had orchestrated something so much bigger than we ever dreamed or imagined. I mean, Ephesians 3:20, we were living in that moment. And then we said, are we together then enough to say, this is a deal? And they said, absolutely. And we stood up and we shook hands. And we prayed together, asking and thanking and blessing the Lord. And here's the crazy thing. They looked at us and they said, you know something? We began praying. They reminded us of this. When we first met together, we sat down and we prayed this. This was our only prayer. God, we're asking you to work in the midst of this, and this is our ask, that you will bless both parties, that there will not be a winner or a loser, but that everybody wins in this together. And that was our prayer. And they reminded us of that moment. And do you know what? I have no doubt they were as joyful as we were. Because when they left, they had responded in obedience to what they believed God had called them to do for us. Now, isn't this amazing? For us. And they are such good and godly people. They're so generous to us. And the other thing is, God had given us such favor in their eyes that they were so open to helping us. And they had a desire. They had a desire that a church would be there. And they believed it was our church that needed to be there. You know, it is amazing to me. It is amazing to me how God could orchestrate that. So then after the meeting, we started hugging and high-fiving. I mean, you talking about dancing. We were about to dance jigs. I wish you could have watched Nate and Chad dance a jig. It would have been... If we could video it, we would, but we'd be sworn to secrecy. And man, we hugged each other, and then we just gathered in a circle. And each one of us just thanked the Lord for His provision and His blessing. I'm humbled, and I am thrilled to share with you. As of Friday afternoon, they left. They said, we will draw up a purchase agreement in the next 2 days. We want you to be able to tell your church. As of Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we signed a purchase agreement to obtain Blue Falls Event Center and the 14 acres it resides on. Unbelievable. Oh, unbelievable. I know, you got to celebrate. Come on, get up on your feet, church. Goodness gracious. When Lila shared the other day about having some space for the students to, we think about just calling it the Lila Garden. Yeah, go Lila. I mean, it's a little over 14 acres. The facility has over 14,000 square feet. It includes a room that can sit up to 600 in worship. And it's plenty of space for our children and our students. It gives our children and our youth plenty of space to explore and have activities on. And it's plenty of a space, Catalyst, for us to expand as God just continues to grow us in our midst. Of course, the agreement is contingent. Please hear me. The agreement is contingent upon a congregational vote. That's always the way it is. That's our bylaws. And that we secure financing. But I tell you, I already look forward to seeing God work in both these areas. Please know that over the next 2 weeks, there will be three opportunities for all of us to tour the facility. I'm going to give these to you. Next Sunday from 12:30 to 1:30 after service. Next Sunday from 6 o'clock to 7 p.m. at night. And next, the Wednesday after that, June the 6th. So that's June the 3rd, twice on June the 3rd. And then on June the 6th, Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m., we want all of us to have an opportunity to walk through this facility and the land surrounding it. It has parking spaces for over 200 cars. Unbelievable. It has a pond in the front. It's just really a phenomenal. God has blessed us. And we just want you to be able to tour and see this amazing opportunity that God has placed in front of us. Now, here's something that I want you to understand. Because after this significant moment, because let's be honest, this is a game changer even in the all-in campaign, is it not? We have decided to delay Commitment Sunday until June the 10th. That's then not next week, the following week. And we will have Celebration Sunday on June 17th. That's Father's Day, I know. But God doesn't mind doing two things on one Sunday. Trust me. And this will give folks more time to visit. And we hope, now I want you to hear me, friends, that all of us will reconsider what resources we might commit to help this endeavor happen. For all of us, it means changes in the schedules, I know that, but guess what, a little change never hurt anybody. But for us to move forward on this opportunity, we need to raise close to $200,000 in cash. Now you're saying, Roland, you're crazy. No, getting Blue Falls is crazy. Remember what I told you, God just stretching? Remember last week? God just getting ready. But it's going to take us collectively. And when you talk all in, this is all in, friends. This is about you and me doing what we can. Now, I'm going to share some things. There are some of us that have the capacity to make some significant contributions. I'm going to ask you to consider that. There are some of us who right now we know we're stretched to the limit. But I'm going to ask you to find a way to give something. I was going to preach this morning on the widow's mite and the two coins. You know what those words? They're called liptons, or the coins. You know what they mean? The thin ones. I like that. The thin ones. I want us to rub our thin ones together. And I want us to respond what the Lord has, because this is an opportunity for this church. This gives us a home, y'all. This gives us a footprint. This gives us a place of permanence. This gives us a place of legacy. When you tour that facility, I want you to think about your children's children there. I want you to think about the potential God can use us to make a difference in this community. I want you to be amazed at what opportunity God has opened for us and wrapped up it all in one thing. What began as a dream a few weeks ago has the potential to become reality a few short weeks from now. Catalyst, today is the day, and today is the day that the Lord has provided opportunity. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. Now, what an incredible day to share communion together, is it not? The body of Christ giving thanks for all Jesus has done for us and is doing for us. It is a chance catalyst for us to reflect on the cross and all that God has given us through His redemption and forgiveness. I don't want us to lose sight that Blue Falls is a gift, but Jesus is the greatest gift. You see, it's time to remember the great love and sacrifice that was called for on Jesus' behalf and His willingness to pay it for us. You see, we sit here today only because of Him. It's a time that reminds us of all He's doing in our midst right now and continues to do through the gift of Blue Falls. His hand is so evident on us and around us. Now, as we receive the bread this morning and we drink the juice, we too commit our love, our obedience, our sacrifice to Him and His work. I ask that each of us take time this morning to pause before Him with thanksgiving. Let us reflect on not only the miracle of the cross, but the miracle that is Blue Falls even today, and what our part will be in enabling that to take place. Again, we ask only one thing, that each one of us will pray and respond to what God challenges us to do. And He may make you as nervous as He did me in those meetings. When you kept hearing the clicks, and you kept thinking to yourself, God, what are you up to? Now, before we take communion, I think it's important for us to stand for a moment. I think it's important for us to celebrate. Did you know sometimes the church doesn't celebrate enough? Friend, we have reason to celebrate. I want you to just move around a little bit. You can do the fist bump, or you can do the high fives like we did. And you can just say, wow, the Lord is good. Let's take some time. Come on, church, let's move around and let's celebrate. Now, after a brief time of pandemonium, I'll come back up and we'll go. Hey, unbelievable, isn't it? It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy, Joseph. Only the Lord, man. Only the Lord. We get to walk through that door together, remember? That's right. That's right. Oh, man, what a good day. Hey, I love you, buddy. Oh, man, what a good day. Okay, it's a good day, isn't it? I mean, it's a fair day. Yeah. Now it's time to remember, friends. It's time to remember that all of this is only possible because of the work of Jesus and the cross. All we have, all we are, all we will ever dream for is founded and dependent on the power of the cross. Catalyst, let us give thanks today, but let us remember well today what brought us here. And that is Jesus and His work. And so I'm going to invite all of us, as our wonderful worship team continues to sing, that we will start from the front rows and make our way around. And Carl and Valerie are gracious enough to serve our communion today. And I want you to go and then ponder and praise Him, and thank Him for how good He is to us. What a blessed day.